I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm glad you've joined me today for a look into God's Word, the Bible. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host for this weekly program. If you're tuning in for the first time, you've joined us during a series of study from the book of 1 Peter. Today's study is taken from chapter 5 and verses 1 to 5. It's titled, Pastor, Feed the Flock of God. Our study today will speak directly to pastors, but even if you're not in that position, you'll find benefit from the teaching of God's Word. It will be a few minutes until we get into our study, so I encourage you to go to your phone, call your pastor, and invite him to listen in. I'm sure you'll both be blessed and encouraged. And incidentally, this would be a wonderful way to cap off Pastor Appreciation Month. Right now, here are the men to encourage us with their song.
Oh, I praise Thee, precious Savior, that Thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might Thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour. Witnessing Thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, Thou who bought me to possess me, in Thy fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour.
You know, friend, that song isn't only for pastors, because every person who has genuinely accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord becomes a channel through which God wants His love to flow. Now, it's true, pastors may exert influence over a larger group of people, but the scope of your influence isn't the most important factor in being a channel. Do you know what that most important factor is in your influence? It's faithfulness. The Bible makes it clear that not all God's servants are given the same level of responsibility or visibility. But one thing is common to each and every one of us. We're accountable to God for how we use the gifts and the abilities He's given to us. Now, just before Dr. Yoder comes to lead our study from 1 Peter chapter 5, let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into Your presence through the precious blood of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. It's only through Him that we have access to You. We bow our hearts and our heads before You, looking to receive a blessing from Your hand. May Your precious Holy Spirit open our hearts and our minds to receive the truth of Your Word, as Dr. Yoder teaches from this text. May we be better equipped to serve You and to serve others by spending this time together. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Some time ago here at Heralds of Hope headquarters, we had a visitor in our office, a missionary to one of the South African countries, a developing country. He told us that in that particular country, the missionaries are teaching national pastors to be bivocational. What did he mean by that? He meant that the pastor would also have a vocation. Oh, he might be a shoe cobbler, he might be a carpenter, or a woodworker. They do that because, he said, the church is not able to support a pastor full-time. He didn't say how many members there might be in a church, but he thought it was important that the pastor should have some vocation. The pastor's office now, here in America, has become a profession. It is no longer the calling it once was. In my particular fellowship, for many years, pastors were ordained right from the congregation with very little, sometimes with no Bible training, as far as seminary was concerned. The pastorate was considered a calling, and a man gave himself to that calling as a lifetime service. But that has changed. And in many denominations now, the pastor's office is a profession. For some, money is more important than mission. So instead of giving himself to the mission, some discussion goes on how much will it cost to live and how all this money is going to be brought together. I recall that some years ago, I was in conversation with a gentleman who was attempting to get some people to go to the country of Greece and help in village rehabilitation after World War II. Mrs. Yoder and I had spent 3.5 months in northern Greece with some of the young people who were there in this type of rehabilitation program. In the debriefing session, we were talking with the gentleman who was in charge of this from the State Senate office. We advised that it would be far better to send couples into villages like that rather than single people. Yes, he said, that's true. But it is very difficult to get couples to go. For example, he said, we were interviewing a couple whom we thought would make good possible missionaries or possible service people. And at one particular point, the wife asked this question. Do the villages in Greece have electricity? And my friend had to say, no, they don't. Then she said, we are not interested. Service to Christ was not first in that woman's thought. So when God calls a man to the pastorate, he does not promise a bed of roses, because the pastor's office is not a profession in its truest essence. Now Peter was a pastor. In fact, he was an elder, and he had some word for us in my message. Pastor, feed the flock of God. I'm turning now to 1 Peter 5, 1-5 for my text. I hope you will open your Bible and follow closely as I read and expound this portion of God's Word. Here is the Word of God. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Here the Apostle Peter, an elder, leaves us pastors with several sobering considerations attendant upon our office. The first consideration is the background of the appointment. He puts in the background the suffering of Christ. Peter was a man who saw it all. He understood better than you and I can imagine what the sufferings of Christ really meant. There was no glamour. It was all gruesome. Peter went with him to the garden, where the Savior sweat, as it were, drops of blood. Peter went with him to the high priest's house. And we may be sure that Peter went also to the hill of crucifixion. He said, he's a witness of the sufferings of Christ, but also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed. The appointment must be seen against that background, the suffering of Christ. I'm saying to you, against that background, then, concentrate on the oversight. Feed the flock of God which is among you, Peter said, taking the oversight of it. In other words, be in charge. Be the person who is directing the work of feeding the flock. Feeding the flock is nurture, to build them up, to increase their understanding, to show them how that they can grow in the Christian life. Do it willingly, not by constraint, not by necessity, not because it is a burden to you, but do it willingly. And not for filthy lucre. Not for filthy lucre or the finances involved. It's not a job. It is a calling. Do it of a ready mind. It is not a position. It is not a competition. That appointment is set against the background of the suffering of Christ. Fellow pastor, consider the background of your appointment. The second consideration is the basis of the assignment. I notice that Peter illustrates this by the life of a true shepherd. He says, don't exercise yourself as a lord, as a hard-fisted person, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. I have observed in the Holy Land how shepherds are in front of the sheep. They always lead the flock. Where they go, the flock goes. Now that's what Jesus said. He said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. The Apostle Paul, writing, said, follow me as I follow Christ. Examples. Leaders, not drivers, leaders. A shepherd should be able to say, do as I do. That's being an example. Or as I heard one man say recently, walk your talk. Hey, I like that, don't you? Walk your talk. The assignment is to be an exemplary person. Anticipate the reward from the chief shepherd, then. That means all other shepherds are under-shepherds. Pastors are never independent. Many pastors get their direction from the people, but where they should get their direction from is from the chief shepherd. Expect your direction from him. Look very carefully for the reward, then. You shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The Apostle Paul said he was waiting for that. His last words to Timothy were that he was expecting the crown which the righteous judge will give him at that day. Yes. Look for the word, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The pastor is in service under the chief shepherd. It is not an independent role. Fellow pastor, consider the place of your assignment. The third consideration is the boundary of the management. The pastor should be the one who orchestrates the service, each in his place. The Apostle Paul uses a beautiful analogy when he speaks about the body of Christ being like our bodies, the ear, the eye, the nose, the throat, the hands, the feet, the head. Peter urges, then, that there be mutual subjection, and especially the younger should submit themselves to the elder, and each subject to the other, each with a sweet temper. We must realize that we're not all alike, just as the members of our bodies are not all alike, each one functioning best where it is. So the members of our body are subject one to another, but all subject to the head. So the pastor is the orchestrator who keeps everything running smoothly, not with lordship, but as a shepherd, as we were saying. All of you be subject one to another. Then he says, be clothed with humility. Humiliate the self. Wear humility like a garment. Some of the commentators believe that Peter had in mind a kind of apron that the slave wore. It identified him as a slave. Here the Apostle Peter says that humility can be that apron. Wear it. Don't become lifted up in your own eyes, because God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Someone has said, you can do a great deal if you don't mind who gets the credit. Now, we're human enough, aren't we? And we like to have the approval for the things that we do. Yes, we're like that. But Peter encourages us to wear humility, be clothed with it. The pastorate is a mutual relationship with the flock, not a hierarchy. Oh, when I think how in some fellowships the hierarchy is stacked up, and one is to address his superiors as the preeminence or his majesty. This hardly fits with Peter's boundary of management. Fellow pastor, consider the boundary of your management. We need pastors of this caliber and capability. Fellow pastor, I urge you, give serious thought to these considerations. The background of your appointment, Jesus' suffering. The basis of your assignment, the chief shepherd. The boundary of your management, humility under God. And God will bless your service. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord God, we come in the name of thy dear Son Jesus, who is the chief shepherd. And we beseech thee, O God, that thou would speak to our hearts. Speak to every pastor, and that one right there now who's listening. I pray, God, that thou would help him and me to be the kind of pastors that we have our appointment against the background of Jesus' suffering. And we take up our assignment under the chief shepherd, and we conduct our management with humility under God. I pray, bless that pastor, Lord. There are many of them across the land. Some are truly dedicated to their task, to their mission. I pray, bless them richly and abundantly. And I ask this in the name of the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Do you dare to be an angel in the lion's den? Do you dare to be an angel in the lion's den? Do you dare to be an angel in the lion's den?
Do you dare to be an angel in the lion's den? Do you dare to be a Moses when the march begins? Do you dare to be the Baptist and preach about sin? Then children, you better pray. You better pray. You know you better pray. You better pray. You better pray if you're gonna be there on the judgment day. On the judgment day. Do you dare to be a Daniel in the lion's den? Do you dare to be a Moses when the march begins? Do you dare to be the Baptist and preach about sin? Then children, you better pray. You better pray.
Be a Samuel and hear the call.
Do you dare to be a Samuel and hear the call?
Do you dare
to be a Samuel when you hear the call?
Do you dare to be a Samuel when you hear the call?
Do you dare to be a witness like the preacher Paul? Do you dare to be an Abraham and give your all? Then children, you better pray. You better pray, you know you better pray. You better pray. You better pray if you're gonna be there on the judgment day. On the judgment day.
Do you dare to be a Samuel when you hear the call? Do you dare to be a witness like the preacher Paul?
Do you dare to be an Abraham and give your all? Then children, you better pray. Dare to be a Joshua when the battle's fought?
Do you dare to be a Joseph when you're on the spot?
Do you dare face the furnace when the fire gets hot?
Then children, you better pray. You better pray. You know you better pray. You better pray. You better pray if you're gonna be there on the judgment. On the judgment. Judgment.
The furnace when the fire gets hot, then children, you better pray.
Thank you, men, for that song of challenge. And thank you, Dr. Yoder, for the practical teaching of the word relating to the pastoral role. Dr. Yoder made a statement in his message I want to highlight. He said, quote, many pastors get their direction from the people in the congregation when they should be getting their direction from the chief shepherd, end quote. I've had the privilege in my lifetime of counting a number of pastors among my closest friends, and they've shared with me some of their struggles. And you know, just like all of us, they want acceptance, they want to be valued, and they want the approval of others. But they also stand in a position where sometimes they're compelled by God's Word and the Holy Spirit to teach and preach things that aren't popular. For that, they're often spoken about in a disparaging way, or perhaps ridiculed, or just ignored. But you know, friend, if you and I are engaging in that kind of behavior, we're in clear violation of both God's Word and His will. Now, if you're a pastor listening today, I want to encourage you with this quote from Bob Moorhead. Listen. He said, "God give us men, ribbed with the steel of your Holy Spirit. Men who will not flinch when the battle is fiercest. Men who won't acquiesce or compromise or fade when the enemy rages. God, give us men who can't be bought, bartered, or badgered by the enemy. Men who will pay the price, make the sacrifice, stand the ground, and hold the torch high. God, give us men obsessed with the principles true to your word. Men stripped of self-seeking and a yen for security. Men who will pay any price for freedom and go to any lengths for the truth. God, give us men delivered from mediocrity. Men with vision high, pride low, faith wide and love deep, and patience long. Men who will dare to march to the drumbeat of a distant drummer. Men who will not surrender their principles of truth in order to accommodate their peers. God, give us men more interested in scars than medals. More committed to conviction than convenience. Men who will give their life for the eternal instead of indulging their lives for a moment in time. Give us men who are fearless in the face of danger, calm in the midst of pressure, and bold in the midst of opposition. God, give us men who will pray earnestly, work long, preach clearly, and wait patiently. Give us men whose walk is by faith, whose behavior is by principle, whose dreams are in heaven, and whose book is the Bible. God, give us men who are equal to the task. Those are the men the church needs today." I say, amen.
War cease, the whole world lives in peace. Bitterness and hatred fade away. Foes talk, the whole world walks a walk. That's what happens when men pray. When men pray, when men pray, the heart of God is touched. When men pray, as the Father's will is done, the whole world can be won. That's what happens when men pray.
Healing starts, God mends all broken hearts. Nobody goes to bed afraid. Blind are led, the hungry all are fed. That's what happens when men pray.
When men pray, when men pray, the heart of God is touched. When men pray, as the Father's will is done, the whole world can be won. That's what happens when men pray.
Yes, my friend, your pastor needs your prayers. So you pray for him and let him know that you're praying. Now listen, if you think this program would be an encouragement to your pastor, why don't you contact us and ask for a copy? That's right, you can have a copy of today's program to share with your pastor as a way to encourage him. It's available either in print or on an audio CD, or you can direct him to our website, heraldsofhope.org, where he can listen to it at his convenience. But if you want a printed or an audio copy, you may send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you may write to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And if you'd like a printed copy of today's teaching, I'm glad to inform you that this whole series has been reprinted in an attractive paperback book. The teaching you heard today, as well as all the other messages in this series, are contained in the book titled Sojourners in Faith. To request your copy of Sojourners in Faith, send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we love to hear from our listeners. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number 1-866-960-0292. And when you send your gift, ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. Now we do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Thank you for being with me today, friend. Next time on The Voice of Hope, Lord willing, Dr. Yoder will present another message in our series from 1 Peter. It's titled, The Knee Battle. So you plan to join me. And until then,
come, let us all unite to sing God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring, God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is remotest part.